I want you to grab your Bibles and we'll go ahead and get started into our message. John chapter 15. John 15. As we continue, man, this stuff is just so rich and the timing of it is amazing in the light of the messages I have just done on the blessed God. And here, I have given the title of Abide in Me That Your Joy May Be Full. And so we have here an astounding passage that speaks to the, again, what we've been learning all along of abiding in Christ, abiding in the Father. Our passage tonight is going to be verse 9 through 11, but let's start verse 1 to 11, get the whole context. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. As the Father loves me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight. Such a encouraging passage, and yet mysterious. So often we make this harder than it is. Your instructions here, Lord, is simple. Abide in you and abide in your word, abide in the Father. So, Father, we pray that you will help us to understand and come to grips, and we will bear that fruit of joy. When we lack it, we lack the abiding. And so, Father, we pray for joy and that that joy would remain and be sustained and consistent and full. Oh, Father, we pray that you would help us not to seek joy for joy's sake, but joy because it's a byproduct of abiding in you, longing to stay with you and dwell with you and remain with you. And we desire nothing more and higher and greater than that, and that the result of that joy comes and is full and remains. Father, help us. We thank you again for your passage and for these encouraging words in a dark, confusing world in which we live. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we open this up, first thing we see in verses 9 and 10 is abiding in the love of God. Here we see it, we're instructed in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. The key word in this whole passage from verse 1 to the one that we're at, to 11, is the word abide. It is mentioned 10 times in the first 10 verses. And again, it means to remain. It's not mystical. It's not super spiritual. It's not hard to gather and shouldn't be mystical. It simply by definition means to remain, to dwell, to continue, to tarry, and to endure. Okay? There are things that when it comes to leaning and abiding in Christ that want to break us apart from Him, and we need to endure with Him. Not because of Him. He's not our burden. He's our joy. It means not to depart or to wander away. It means to stay and to continue with someone. So if you take the time to look at all the personal pronouns in these 11 verses, you're going to find out that who we're supposed to abide in is the Son and the Father. And they're referenced interchangeably with a lot of different pronouns. Regarding the Son, I am twice, me 8 times, I 6 times, my 8 times, for 24 times. And the Father, it was referencing Him as He, or my Father, or His. And that is referenced 7 times. So just in these 11 verses, 31 times, interchanging between those two members of the Godhead, and saturated with the passage of abiding, abiding, abiding in Him, His love, His commandments. So important that we understand what we are to abide in. It is clear. It is a command to abide in God the Father and God the Son. They're inseparable. Anybody who wants to claim to be a Christian and only acknowledge the Father apart from the Son is not New Testament gospel or Christianity. You're going to see that in a moment when I show you. And throughout the epistle, there was always the Father and the Son. Father and the Son. In the direct usage of the word abide, directly, abide in me, referencing Christ 6 times. Abide in me, abide in the vine 1. Abide in Christ's love 2. Abide in the Father's love 1. Yet, when we see the continual repetitive abiding, abiding, stay with it, stay the cord, don't stray, don't leave, don't walk away, stay near. We let so many things come in to distract us. So many things to cause us to drift away from our good and our gracious God and our Redeemer. Things like, even good things like family, work, leisure, recreation, school, spouses, children, hobby, personal things, and the list goes on, that we allow to rip away from abiding in Him. So it's important when we look at this, as the Father loves me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So we got a loving Father to a loving Son who loved His people. And He's asking them to abide in Him. That's us, abide in Him. Now He moved into another practical thing in verse 10. It said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So first of all, if you don't get to willy-nilly declare, hey, I love Jesus and I abide in Him. It is manifested in the keeping of the commandments. Manifested, clearly we already learned of this in the previous chapter in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. A couple of verses later, 14:21, he who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loved me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Who? Those who love enough to obey his commandments. To love is the demonstration. Your love is displayed by your obedience. You will clearly see here in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. When that abide, what does it look like to abide in his love? Is it some kind of long sustained meditation? No. Obedience. Obedience. If you keep his commandments, then you have displayed that you're abiding in his love. Okay? Now, he put something in here that I thought was interesting. But before we get to that, he talked about the fact that you will abide in his love. We have seen it several times in John. He even expounded it more in his epistle. The epistle of 1 John, for instance. 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How? When we keep his word. And when we keep it, we are perfecting the love of God in our lives. Chapter 3, verse 22 of 1 John. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, I can pray anything I want. God said he'll give me the desire of my heart. No, there's a lot of conditions to that statement. They're always tied in. They get that directly out of Psalm 37, where it begins with delight yourself in the Lord. And then you can ask whatever you want. But your delight in the Lord is the qualifier. Here, 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive because we keep his commandments and we do what is pleasing. Chapter 3, verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abide in him and he in him. So both ways, God is staying near, we're staying near. And it tied into our obedience. Obedience, one of the little songs that kids used to sing, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. For John 5:3, this is a good one, listen carefully. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Listen carefully, it's not enough to keep them. He qualified it by saying, and his commandments are not burdensome. When you love God, his commandments are a joy to keep and to live and to obey and to follow through. They are not a burden at all. So when we abide in his love, it is manifested in our abiding in the commandments of God. But I want you to notice the qualifier. Again, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Notice now the qualifier. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So how are you to abide and keep his commandments? Just like Jesus did. Now you and I know that's a tall order. He kept them perfectly. Never failed at any point. But he did say, just as I have. That's what we need to strive for. That's what we need to shoot for. That's what we need to aim for. That we would keep his commandments and abide in his love. And just like Christ perfectly obeyed the Father and abided in the Father in a perfect way. We have seen it over and over throughout our series in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has been greatly instructed on the nuances of Christ being sent by the Father. And he was sent, for instance, in John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Okay? Many of us start well. Yet, I want to do the will of God. Yet, I want to do what he asked me to do. But not so many on the final part and to finish his work. It's one thing to start it, finish. It's another thing to finish it to completion. Entire obedience. John 8:39. And he who sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Boy, isn't that simple? No confusion, no complication, no making it harder than it really is. He says it, so I do. Five letters. So I do. That's what we need to have. Shall like obedience, so I do. Just like the son did. One more later on. We'll get it in the high priestly prayer in John 17:4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So the son is our model and our example. Walk in his steps. Model after him. Just as I have, you abide in my love by keeping his commandment, just like I abided in him by keeping his commandments. Then he comes to the next point found in verse 11. As he continued, these things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy maybe full. Boy, usually Christians, when you talk to them, usually you can't put in the same sentence joy and commandments. It's usually like, but he said, I write these things. I have spoken to you. I'm telling you this so you have joy. Joy that remains, not fleeting in and out, ebbs and flows, comes once in a while, but stays. And that is full, overflowing, profound word. Who doesn't want that? Kind of like y'all snickered when I preach on Sunday when I said, yeah, Dad, I want to live a miserable life. Where can I go and have a bad time? None of us want that. We all are seeking for joy and a good life and blessedness and goodness of God. But here he promises joy that remains. The world's joy comes and goes. There for a moment, gone. Fleeting temporary trinket doesn't even come close to the fullness and the richness of the joy that God gives. He talked about it like he said about my peace I give you, not as the world gives. This thing can be said here. My joy I give, but not the kind that the world gives. Fleeting. Did you know, I know you know this because of what I preached last Sunday, that God is the God of joy. I didn't use a different word because the passage gives it to me. Last Sunday, God is a blessed God. He's a happy God. He is the God who is one of infinite joy. There had never been a time where he would never fullness of joy, infinite in joy. The joy is unlimited, permanent, and eternal joy. We have already touched on this clear back when we dealt with 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 says it, according to the glory of God, full of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He put that phrase, I elaborated it on Sunday. The blessed God, the glory of God, full of the blessed God. And the word means happy. Now, I've been saying a lot of things, quoting a lot of people. Now, let me marshal in a few more, another guy to help it with this. John Piper, He said this, quote, "There is a beautiful phrase in 1 Timothy 1:11 buried beneath the two familiar surface of Bible buzzwords. Before we dig it up, it sounds like this: according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. But after you dig up the gem, it sounds like this: the good news of the glory of the happy God." The same Greek you translated as blessed in all of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and our Lord, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, it translated as the word happy in other places, such as Romans 14:22. "Do you have faith? Have it for yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves." John Piper goes on and said, quote, "A great part of God's glory is his happiness. It was inconceivable to the Apostle Paul that God could be denied infinite joy and still be all glorious. To be infinitely glorious was to be infinitely happy. He used the phrase, the glory of the happy God, because it is a glorious thing for God to be happy as he is. God's glory consists much in the fact that he is happy beyond our wildest imagination, but yet we have so been guilty of framing a frowning God. He must be angry all the time. No. He acts perfectly according to his character. And he is an infinitely joyous, blessed, happy God. He went on to say that the gospel, the gospel of the glory of the happy God. Listen to this. It is good news that God is gloriously happy. No one would want to spend eternity with an unhappy God. If God is unhappy, then the goal of the gospel is not a happy goal. And that means it would be no gospel at all. Because what's the meaning of the word gospel? Good news. Good news. It's not only forgiveness, but getting to be reconciled to a gloriously blessed, joyful God. Finish my quote. But in fact, Jesus invited to spend eternity with a happy God when he said, "Enter into the joy of your master," Matthew 5:23. Jesus lived and died that a joy, God's joy, might be in us and our joy might be full. John 15:11, our passage. And later on in John 17:13, "Therefore the gospel is the gospel of the glory of the happy God." One of the preachers in the past had been given a bad rap of being a hard-nosed preacher, a real hellfire and brimstone, by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Always seemed to be known for only his sermons in the hands of sinners in the hands of an angry God. That is speaking in the context of his justice. There's a huge difference here. Here's what Jonathan Edwards said, quote, "Part of God's fullness which he communicates is his happiness. This happiness consists in enjoying and rejoicing in himself. So does also the creature's happiness. We are the most happy when we are the most satisfied in him. Because that's where we're going to get our joy that remain and is full. Then and only then will we have our happiness." That's why our happiness is directly linked to the person and the character of a God who is a joyful, blessed, happy God. And I don't mean happy in the silly, goofy, happy. But the word joy really expresses the word that, but it had been translated the word happy because it's a good word. Sinners in their folly made a good word trivial now, but it's rich and it's full. Taking the phrase that your joy may be full, listen to the John 16:24. Until now, you have had nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Here, one of the ways that our full joy will be full is answered to prayer. John 17:13. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy I get from you, I want them to have. That's us. But we only get it when we abide in His love and abide in His commandment. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Philippians 1:25. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Are you progressing in your faith with joy? Or are you just, well, I gotta go because I have to? You don't know Him very well. You can't know a God that is a blessed, joyful God and maintain that kind of spirit and that kind of disposition. You're communicating a bad method to brothers and sisters in Christ and a bad method to the world of our Heavenly Father, who adopted us into His family, who saved us when all He had to do was allow justice to happen and we had no hope, no chance whatsoever. 1 Peter 1:8, this is a good one. Remember this, 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Well, none of us have seen Christ, but we know enough that with great anticipation, we rejoice with joy inexpressible. In other words, we have no word to express this joy. It's so rich, so deep, so profound, so pervasive. I can't tell you how good it is. I know the world's going to think, man, they're kind of nuts. Well, to them we are. To Him we're not. All we're doing is abiding in Him, loving Him and obeying Him. What does He do? Showered us with joy. That remains. That full. So let's not forget those words. Verse 11. These things I spoke. I said all this to tell you this. I said all of this. Not though you can't go and do your thing. The truth is, when you go do your thing, you're not going to find what you're looking for. You only can find it in me. I made you to find your fullness in me. Abide in Him, abide in the Father, in their love, in their commandments. He'll give you joy that remains. I can't stress the word remain enough. It's not fleeting. Doesn't come and go. You abide and you remain. You sustain yourself with and lean and trust and embrace Him. That joy is there. And when that happens, it's not partial out in pieces. It's full. I remember many years ago reading D.L. Moody's biography. And he was an unusual man. Blessed of the Lord and used of God. Had a tremendous walk with the Lord. And he would always walk with the Lord. And I remember distinctly reading one time where the Lord kind of revealed Himself in such an unusual way. And he wasn't given to mysticism. He was a very practical, down-to-earth theologically as well as practically. But the Lord was blessing in an unusual way his love and presence to Moody. And in a unique, deep degree, that in the middle of it, Moody said, "Stop, Lord, I'm going to die if you give me any more of this love." That's how pure and beautiful his love is. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Of course, the same author who gave it the Gospel of John gave it the Epistle of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. I want you to see with your own eyes. He's going to map out from the very beginning who this person they have seen, touched, witnessed, heard, and then he's going to bring something in. Okay? Beginning in verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." This is Jesus Christ. "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us," and noted Ken, "and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you," what? "That your joy may be full." You want to find fullness of joy? Fellowship with the Father and the Son. What's the difference between that and 1 John and abiding in John 15? Not a thing. We just got more practical elements in John 15. Oh, beloved, we live and serve and worship a gloriously, infinitely joyful, blessed God. And he wants to bring us into that blessedness. And he's shown us how by our abiding, by our keeping of his commandment, abiding both in the Father and the Son together. Obviously, the Holy Spirit assumed in this, because we can't do it apart from him. Oh, may we truly do not look anywhere else for joy but in Jesus Christ and the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your goodness. Lord, in our hearts we long for this joy and its fullness and its richness. Lord, may we see you as you really are, the ever-blessed, glorious, joyful God. A God who truly is so joyful within himself and long to bless his creatures, for those who will turn and look to him for that blessedness. We thank you for Christ for making it possible. Oh Lord, help us to display our love for you and abiding in you through our obedience. May we do it in simplicity like Christ did, so do I. Oh Lord, so we pray that we never seek joy as an end and goal of itself, but to seek you knowing that you will keep your word. And once we have tasted that joy, why would we go elsewhere? Oh Lord, forgive us once we have tasted and we yet wander. Oh Lord, that just tells us about the indwelling sin and the ongoing battle of Romans 7 again and again. We have to wake up every day realizing the words of Jesus in verse 5, "Without me we can do nothing." And so, Father, may we lean on you and your Son, Jesus. for joy that remains in full. In Christ's name, amen.